Heroin has played a major role in the news, certainly in Hennepin County, Minnesota, where 54 people died as a result of heroin overdoses. Now on the national news scene with the death of Philip Seymour Hoffman, and we're all learning a lot more about this drug that has proved to be fatal for so many. And joining us now on KFGO, we're going to go to Hazleton Adolescent and Young Adult Services. Jim Steinhagen is the executive director. He joins us now from the Twin Cities. Hello, Jim, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. How are things in Fargo?
Well, they're cold, and we have a wind chill advisory. How about down there?
Yeah, right about the same. We're really tired of winter and ready to have spring show its face.
Good. Is heroin been around and we're just hearing about the deaths, or is it making a resurgence?
You know, I think any time somebody of the notoriety of Philip Seymour Hoffman dies, it makes headlines. You gave a statistic in the introduction that 54 deaths were reported in 2013 in Hennepin County, which is where Minneapolis resides. That's up from a total of 8 in 2010. So, you know, it's just an exponential increase. And we've been seeing this trend not just recently, but over the course of the last 4 and 5 years, individuals showing up into treatment with their primary addiction being that of heroin or opiate drug addiction, which can also be prescription drugs. So it's a trend that is extremely concerning. I think what we're seeing is epidemic levels across this country, but it's not just recent. It's not just in the last couple of months or even in the last year. We've been seeing this as a nation, if you study the drug trends over the course of the last 3 to 5 years specifically. It's made a significant resurgence.
Is it because of the rise in the use of prescription pain medication? And when those prescriptions run out, heroin is maybe the next best thing?
Yeah, we believe that correlation definitely exists. One of the statistics I can give you, which I still find fascinating, is that, you know, the United States makes up about 4.5% of the world's population, yet we use over 80% of the world's opiate drugs, prescription drugs, that is. So, we use prescription opiates very freely to manage what they're intended to, which is pain. And unfortunately, what can also happen is that the person develops an addiction as a result and moves on into an easier accessible drug or a cheaper drug, that being heroin. And so the costs related to heroin are lower than they would be for prescription drugs on the black market. What we also know is that the young people that we see, And just so you know, when we're talking about young people, half of those 54 that died in 2013 were in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing this epidemic really hit the young adult and adolescent population heavily. But, you know, people have these drugs in their medicine cabinet so that the kids know to go in and what to look for and what to steal from the medicine cabinet to get high and continue on with
sure.
their addiction, to support their addiction, or just to begin experimenting with and start something that's extremely dangerous and addictive.
So how does heroin make you feel?
If you ask a heroin addict, it's a state of nirvana that nothing comes close to. It's just it's a surreal state of being that is highly addictive. And the properties of heroin and the way they work on the brain essentially hijack the brain pretty quickly, and so that the person who's using the heroin, who says, you know, I'll never do this, I'll never try that, I'll never put a needle in my arm, I'll never, break all of those promises, because they just become a servant to the addiction itself. It literally hijacks the brain. In such a way that the person has no chance to make a good, conscious, reasonable choice about what they're doing. The dangers that are associated with it are secondary to getting high again.
I want to find out how it kills you, and also what would make a guy who had been clean for 23 years just go off the wagon, give up everything, including his life? Jim Steinhagen is our guest. He is the executive director of the Hazleton Adolescent and Young Adult Services, joins us from the Twin Cities. We only have a few minutes left with you, Jim, and I want to just ask you a couple of other questions about how does someone die? How does someone OD on heroin?
Well, the drug itself suppresses the respiratory system, so inundating your body with an amount of a drug that does that, essentially what happens is it overwhelms the brain and tells the brain essentially to stop breathing, and so the respiratory system shuts down and the person dies.
We've heard a lot about all of these bags that were found in Philip Seymour Hoffman's apartment. How much does one of those bags cost?
You know, I'm not sure what the bags were made up of, but that is one of the things that makes heroin an abusable drug, is it's affordable. And so a high of heroin, maybe $20.
We've also been hearing about an additive to the heroin, particularly in Minnesota and maybe elsewhere in the country. This drug was not in Philip Seymour Hoffman's heroin, but what is it called? Fentanyl?
Fentanyl.
Fentanyl.
Yeah.
And
which is a prescription opiate, which addicts will use to increase the high that they experience as a result of the drug. And that's just symptomatic of addiction. Addicts look for quicker, better, faster, stronger highs to satisfy that craving that just won't go away that their brain produces.
What do you think of the state lawmakers' idea to have all Minnesota law officers carry Narcan?
Yeah, you know, Narcan is a drug that intervenes on an overdose of an opiate and blocks the opiate receptors. And so what it would allow somebody to do is take that person out of the dying process, essentially bring them back. And ideally what happens is they have a chance to get the help that they clearly need. If they don't have that drug, what we know is the chances of a person dying are significantly greater. And so if they're police, first responders are able to carry that drug, they probably will save a lot of lives and we can help a lot more people.
So it's not hard for Minnesota officers then to tell if someone may be ODing on heroin, for example?
Correct.
So are they trained in that or will they need to be trained?
I would guess that they would need to be trained in that, but typically they're going to have some training in that. And when we've got epidemics like this occurring around the country, they become familiarized with what it is, the symptoms that an overdose victim would be experiencing, and can begin to take action before a first responder in an ambulance or fire rescue, for example, was able to make it to the scene.
I would imagine it's pretty important to know where, if you're buying it, where it came from and what additives might be in it, because, you know, we've had a death, a very high profile death around here where someone supplied a bad heroin to someone and they died and now they're in jail.
Yeah, you know, you would think that would be part of the process, Sandy, and it's not, unfortunately. Addicts are only concerned about getting high and getting that drug in their vein or smoking it or snorting it or however they're using it. And that overrides any good common sense or reasonable judgment. Fear of death is not something that keeps an addict clean in any way. So even with the latest scares of the tainted drug, I think with that same batch, there were 23 drug deaths out on the East Coast that was out there last month. Mm-hmm. And they were advising addicts, be careful, don't use this stuff. It's been mixed with something. But it falls for the most part on deaf ears, and that's just the nature and the power of addiction.
The thing that I think is so striking and haunting, all of these young deaths, but the fact that a man who was clean for 23 years, who was in a relationship, who had three little kids, who Academy Award actor, one of the best actors, a life of people would envy, and he would give it all up and be found with a needle in his arm. That's hard to comprehend.
You know, it's hard to comprehend. And what we know is that relapse happens with chronic disease, of which addiction is one, of chemical dependency. And so what we talk about at Hazleton is the importance of abstinence as the only sure way to keep that disease in remission. And unfortunately, what can happen is somebody can be clean for an extended period of time, but suffer, let's say, an injury or have a dental procedure of some sort, are given a prescription opiate to help manage the pain, and suddenly they're back in over their heads before they even realize it, and acting on acting out of addiction versus a medical necessity to continue taking the drugs. And it's a very slippery slope. It's a disease that's very patient, very dangerous, and just waits for an opportunity to find its way back in and take over a person's life.
Jim, thank you very much for your insight. Let's talk again, and we appreciate your time today. Jim Steinhagen, the Executive Director of the Hazleton Adolescent and Young Adult Services. You want to find Hazleton, Google it. You'll find it all over the internet. You'll find sites that will bring you right to that site if you're looking for help. Jim, thank you.